It's a local charity with a big ambition to help everyone face death informed, supported and pain-free. St Catherine's Hospice provides expert care for people in East Surrey and West Sussex when life comes full circle. It was built by and for the community and it simply couldn't operate without ongoing support in various forms. On the line to talk about the charity and its full circle appeal is Tom Abbott, Head of Fundraising. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Susie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Tom, St Catherine's is there for those in the community affected by serious illness, lending support for people when, and more importantly, where it's needed. Tell us what form that takes on a practical level.
So yes, as you've said, St Catherine's is a local charity and we've got a big ambition to be there for everyone, to help them face death informed, supported and pain-free. And what that means for us is that we provide expert hospice care for the people of West Sussex and East Surrey when their life comes full circle because of a terminal illness, which obviously is a horrible thing for someone to face. The care that we offer, despite people's preconceptions, isn't only for cancer patients, but it's for anyone that's living with a life-limiting illness, which might be motor neurone disease or heart disease, amongst others. And as well as just the medical type care that we give through our doctors and nurses, we also give emotional and spiritual support. We offer welfare support and advice. We've got therapies teams to help our patients with their mobility. And it's really a tailored support at that really difficult time of life for people that need it and for their families and friends as well.
So, I mean, you're experts in end-of-life care. You help approximately 2,000 terminally ill people, their families,
right,
their friends and carers every single year. And you do provide various services, don't you?
Let's
talk about a few of those in turn, just to let listeners know exactly what you do. Now, you provide care at home. My understanding is that as much as 8 out of 10 people you care for are cared for in their own home. How does that take shape?
So really for us, hospice care is about is about the patient and whatever they want it to be, and we try to empower our patients to make decisions whenever they can through their journey. And for a lot of those people, their decision is to be treated and ultimately to die at home. So we care for an awful lot of people, as you say, in their home or in a care home, and that's where they've chosen to be treated. So we've got a team of community nurses that go out and visit patients and their families in their home, and that might be to just offer some support to deal with medication and to get patients' medication right. It might be to assist with some pain relief. It might be to help a patient with some mobility. And sometimes it's just things that can be quite difficult for a patient and their family who's caring for them at home. Things as simple as just helping to wash them and make them feel comfortable in their bed. And really anything that they need to make this difficult experience as positive as it can be, and to make sure that the individual and their family are comfortable.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's a full circle of different things, different help that people get. And, I mean, symptom control is the most obvious one that we think of, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, essentially, with all the things that you're doing, you're actually helping them with their independence, aren't you? Autonomy.
Yeah. So our therapies team, for example, who work both in the hospice and out in the community visiting patients at home, one of the things that they do, amongst lots of other things, is to help patients with their mobility and get them moving so that they can live as full a life as they can. Just to give you an example, there's a patient who we fondly think of called Donald, and Donald was struggling with his mobility, and a couple of my colleagues from the therapies team went out to visit Donald to get him a bit more mobile, and got Donald kind of walking and using his walking supports to become more mobile. And the reason that Donald really wanted to do this is because his anniversary was coming up, and he actually managed to walk himself into town and buy a bunch of flowers for his wife on their anniversary. And it's such a lovely story that the therapies team were able to work with someone to to be able to go and independently do something that was so important to them, to go and buy some flowers for his wife on their anniversary, something that we all take for granted to be able to do. And it's such a lovely thing that the team have got the time and the ability to have that impact on someone's life.
That's a very touching story. I mean, everyone has their own particular goals, don't they?
And
you helped lots of Donalds, I'm sure, in the past and will do in the future. The other thing that I read about was that you also cater for those other practical worries, in a sense, that people can have, things that you don't really want to have to think about in that situation, but nonetheless do have to. You have a welfare advisor that helps people to sort out their finances and their benefits, that sort of thing.
We do. So they're available to all of the patients and the family members that we see. And just having a look, I've got some stats here. I was trying to be prepared for you. So last year we spoke to around 700 patients and family members to offer them welfare advice, and that might have just been around financial advice as to what benefits they're able to claim, and it might even be simple things like bus passes and claiming travel expenses back for hospital appointments, etc. But as you say, those things that perhaps you don't know are available to you, or how to do it, or really just things that you don't want to be thinking about when actually you want to be spending the valuable time with your family and having that time together.
Absolutely. They're practical worries, but they do have to be addressed nonetheless. Some of the other services that you provide, let's have a quick chat about those. Now, day service. Now, that can take various forms, can't it? People can actually go for the day to the hospice, and there's various activities that they can take part in, anything from art classes, even meditation.
That's right, yeah. So we've got a volunteer who comes in to deliver our meditation sessions, and he's very popular. And as you say, everything from art therapy, which I can tell you a little bit more about, through to things like hand massage, painting nails, Reiki, and really day hospice. As you say, patients come in for a few hours, and that's usually one day a week for a set amount of time. And the idea for that really is that it allows them to come into the hospice and receive some treatment, but in a more relaxed environment, but also somewhere where they can meet people who are in a similar situation to themselves, where they can relieve some of the pressure off of family members that are perhaps supporting them at home and caring for them at home. So a little bit of time for husband or wife to perhaps just pop and do the shopping, things like that, simple things like that. So a little bit of respite care.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, the idea is, as you say, it's to help people manage their illness and to be independent, because that is such a crucial word, isn't it? The independence is
absolutely
so important, the autonomy, feeling that you have a choice, that you're in control. And meeting other people in a similar situation can be a very healing and a helpful thing, can't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Just quickly tell us, the day hospice in Crawley and Reigate, it runs throughout the week, is that right?
It does, yes.
Okay. Now, you also, another a service you provide is, of course, the inpatient unit.
Yes.
And that's 24-hour care. And is that on a ward or various independent rooms? How does that work?
So we've got 18 beds on the inpatient unit, and that's it's across two sections of one ward, effectively. And it's a mix of individual bedrooms and shared bedrooms, and really that's down to, again, patients' choice. Some patients like to share rooms so that they've got some companionship and some people to talk to. Others like to have a private room where they can just have themselves and their family to come and visit. And unlike a hospital, families and friends are welcome to visit all day, any day, all hours of the day. They're welcome to stay during the night. We have family members that bring in pets, so there's quite often people bringing in dogs and whatnot, right through to all sorts of crazy things, like we've had horses come to the outside of the hospice to visit patients and everything else, everything you could imagine.
So the nursing team basically look after patients 24 hours a day, it's provided for, and it helps them manage their illness. It could be talking, having a bath, it could be even asking for a particular meal. It's all catering for everyone's individual needs.
The team on site here in the kitchen and the catering team, apart from offering wonderful food anyway, they always go above and beyond to provide something that a patient would like. There's one of the difficulties a lot of our patients face is that their taste sensations diminish. So quite often patients will ask for something that they particularly like or has got a really nice strong taste. So very often our catering team will be out making something really specific for a patient that's made a request for something to eat. The other thing to say about our inpatient unit really is it's, as you say, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And actually, a lot of people would perhaps not understand that a number of, in fact, the majority of our patients that come onto the inpatient unit do go home again. So they come in for some respite care to manage their pain, to sort their medication out, all those sorts of things, and then actually are able to be discharged, to go home in a better state than when they arrived, and to hopefully carry on with a slightly better quality of life. And then they may come back again, but a lot of patients manage to go home from a visit onto the inpatient unit.
Well, that's important to know. Now, all of this expert help and treatment costs money, and I think perhaps some of us may be mistakenly believe that you might be solely maybe funded by the NHS, but that's not the case, is it? What are the yearly running costs, first of all, to be able to provide the care and support that you do?
Yeah, so as we said earlier, we care for around 2,000 people last year, and that cost more than £10 million to run the hospice for the year, and less than a third of that is funded by the NHS. So in real simple terms, we're talking about £7.5 million that's raised through the very generous local community who support us in a number of ways.
Roughly, as you say, a third of your funding comes from the NHS, and the deficit is made up from the community in various shapes and forms. Mm. So what kind of forms? I mean, donations, fundraising events?
Yeah, so there's a number of ways that people can get involved and to raise money for the hospice and for local people. And that might be through giving a regular gift, might be through playing our lottery, might be through taking part in some fundraising events, things like the Midnight Walk that we do and the Dragon Boat Racing. It might be raising money at work, having a dress down day or selling some cakes to your colleagues. And it might be leaving a gift in your will. Really, the options are endless, and people can raise money and do raise money in the way that suits them, and the fundraising team here are there to support people to raise money in the way that they want to do.
And let's not forget, actually, maybe just buying an item in one of your shops as well.
Absolutely,
that helps too. Yeah. So I have to give a shout out to a shop in Reigate. I just happened to go in there recently, Inside Out in Reigate. They didn't want to sell plastic bags, and so they're giving paper bags out to people who've forgotten to bring their own bags, and they're asking for donations when they're supplying these paper bags, and they've raised over £1,000 just doing that.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It just
people
goes so to show
generous.
What can be done. So, you know, and it's only one shop that I know about, and I just happen to talk about that here and now, and if there are any others, then get in touch, because we'll give you a shout out too, because it's such an important thing. It's such a community based thing, isn't it?
Well, that's it, yeah. And there's a number of St Catherine's hospice shops all over the patch, and actually a real simple way of supporting the hospice is just to donate some clothing and some goods that perhaps you no longer use or need to your shop, and they can be sold on for some money. So even if you don't have the opportunity to give something yourself, just by donating some goods to the shops is a really fantastic way to support the hospice.
So the full circle appeal is basically about appealing to the public, I guess, our listeners as well, to donate, participate maybe in fundraising events, maybe play the hospice lottery.
That's it. So St Catherine's, we're really proud to be able to support the people and our families and their families in the local community. But we want to be able to do and can do a lot more. But at present, as it stands today, we're only able to care for one in three people that could benefit from the support of the hospice. So for every Donald who we help to go and buy the anniversary flowers for his wife, there's another two Donalds that don't have access to the support of the hospice, purely because we don't have enough money to do that. So the full circle appeal is about raising more money with the ambition of reaching everyone within our patch to help them face death informed, supported and pain free. And what we're talking about is raising £20 million to help us achieve that. And actually, the way that that looks is the first 5 million of that is going to go towards, along with some very generous donations we've already received, to build in a new hospice building, a larger, more modern hospice building in a few years' time at Peas Pottage. And actually what that's going to enable us to do is not only have more beds because of more space and therefore obviously be able to have more people on the inpatient unit, but also to have a bigger capacity for day hospice, to have a larger community team to visit patients in the home, to have more access to counselling and welfare support, all those things we've talked about. So the Full Circle Appeal is about supporting your local hospice to be able to reach more people in your local community, your neighbours, that need access to hospice support.
That's ambitious, but it's attainable. That's the whole point. We have to move
Absolutely.
On, I'm afraid. If listeners want to find out more, can you quickly tell us what they should do, how they should do it?
So all the ways to support the hospice are on our website, which is www.stchstcatharineshospice.org.uk, stch.org.uk. Or, of course, you can always give us a ring and there'll be someone here that'll be able to help you on 01293 447 333.
Fantastic. Tom, I think the way you operate at St Catharines, you know, understanding that everyone's needs and expectations, they're different. The real skill you all have, I think, is not just in kind of recognising that, but honouring it as well. Thank you very, very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Pleasure.
That was Tom Abbott, Head of Fundraising. And to find out more, go to www.stch.org.uk.